great singing this morning. Take your Bibles now. Go to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll read one verse this morning together. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. We'll read verse number 14 and in unison this morning. It's right before 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Reading verse number 14. Ready? Begin. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly are grateful this morning of your goodness to us. Lord, how much you've blessed us with. Lord, thank you this morning that, Lord, even the world stops and recognizes the great ladies in the life, Lord, that have made a difference. Lord, where would we be without godly mothers and grandmothers, Lord, and influences in our life? Lord, truly we have been blessed. Lord, this morning as we think about those, Lord, that have been in our lives, Lord, may we not just, Lord, bring honor to them by listening and thinking about them, but Lord, may we bring honor to everyone that has invested in our lives, Lord, by obeying you, Lord, and putting to practice those things that we've been taught. Holy Spirit, this morning, would you be with our preacher? Would you fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches? Fill us with your power as we listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Of course, this is Mother's Day, and I believe that ladies hold a lofty position in life. I am not a male chauvinist pig. I'm a hog. But I believe that ladies have a different purpose than men. Did you know men and women are different? I know that's hard to believe in these days. But God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. He didn't make Eve and Anne. Trying to look around thinking of a name that wasn't here and it didn't work. But God made men and women different on purpose. There's no such thing as evolution. God did not make man to love man like he loves his wife. Say, how do you know that? Just go out to the pasture and look at two bulls. They don't have any problem figuring out which ones are bulls and which ones are cows. It's not real hard. By the way, it doesn't mean that God made man better than woman or woman better than man. It's not that one is better than the other. In America, we are all equal with opportunity for justice. But that doesn't mean that men are supposed to start having babies. Come on, fellas. Lisa was in my office. Somebody had donated a bunch of clothing and things. She was in there and she was saying, well, I think this one's going to be a girl too. And I said, I don't care what it is, as long as it ain't mine. And I know it's not. Praise God. Because we're done having them. I mean, my baby's getting married in a month. Glory to God. And we're done, you know. That's why I sold the house that the kids grew up in. They don't even have keys to my house. She comes home, she got to knock on the door like everybody else. You say, why? Because she's marrying the toe-headed idiot. But, no, Michael's a good guy. Now, God made men and women different. When sin was brought on by man, the curse of sin affected men and women differently in different areas. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 3 for a moment. Let me read some verses to you. God says to Adam and Eve in the garden, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Ladies, and I'm going to be discreet and appropriate, but you all aren't always the most stable creatures emotionally. You go through life a little bit like this. You all know what I'm talking about? That's part of the curse of sin. That was brought on by sin. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Notice, Adam wanted to blame Eve, but God said, I commanded you. Quit blaming your wife. He says on there, he says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto the dust thou shalt return. All the stinky nastiness of a man is sweating, and then all the hard labor and wanting to hate going to work every day, that's a result of sin. But notice, the ground was cursed, the earth was cursed, woman was cursed with some instability emotionally, having to lean on the husband for stability, but the man was going to have to work, and he was going to smell bad and have stinky feet. Going to sweat like all get out. You know, ladies don't sweat. They perspire. They glisten. Men, we sweat. Man, I can look at work and sweat. I mean, you ladies got jackets on, and I'm up here, and I got water dripping down my back right now. You say, no, you don't. Yeah, trust me. I change shirts every service. You say, why? Because it's work, and it all. I'm not going to let some rock singer put more into what they do than I do preaching the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean that men are to rule over a lady as a slave and that a lady is never as good as a man. Doing okay there, Mrs. Barnes? Good. I didn't know she wanted me to pose or something, you know. But it does mean that men and ladies are different, and we have different roles because of it. We have different weaknesses due to our sin nature. Now, I'm going to transition into a story that'll go right into the sermon. And I think it goes right in with 1 Timothy 4:14. I love baseball. I played a lot of it. I started playing on my first team by the time I was 5 years old. I played so much baseball. I pitched, I played third base when I was in Christian high school. I had some semi-pro contracts offered to me to go play for farm teams for the Indians and the Royals. I had about 10 or 11 different pitches, and I threw sidearm, three-quarter, threw over the top. I threw curveballs that I'd start on a right-hander's ear, and it would drop down below his knees by the time it hit the plate. I threw screwballs. I just did a lot of junk. I didn't throw necessarily fast, but I threw a lot of junk. Played third base, played the hot spot there, loved it. Played on church softball teams. I was playing, I probably played on from the age of 5 to the age of 18. I probably played on somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40 teams. I just played a ton of baseball. You know, the old pitchback machines, you know, little mesh thing, and you throw it and it springs back. I wore a couple of those out. Not being rough, just I wore them out. I threw a baseball every day. I could tell you when stitches were out in a baseball without even looking at it. I could feel it. I love baseball. Now, I know baseball rules. I know them well. I know balls and strikes. I know the rules of the game. I know balks. I know all the different tagging rules and all that kind of stuff. When I go to a baseball game, my son's going to nod his head. I don't even have to look at him. I sit in the stands and I predict how fast the pitch was before the gun comes up to say. And you can count on one hand the times I'm more than about 3 miles an hour off. I just have studied the game that much. You go to enjoy a baseball game. I go to analyze it. That's just me. I find it that way. Now, here's the problem. I have to factor in human error into baseball. It's not only a game of inches. Sometimes it's a game of angle. See, if an umpire is at the wrong angle, he can't see what's happening quite right. And that bothers me. He ought to be perfect like I am. He might make a bad call, and it's because I saw it one way and he saw it another. An umpire does make mistakes. I remember one time I was, and by the way, I've started two different little leagues in two different churches. I've overseen them. I've been a part of them. I've taught umpires to umpire. I remember being in a game that in a church little league that I helped start. And my sons were playing, and man, I got upset. That rockhead umpire made a bad call. You say, what did you do? I gave my opinion. It wasn't asked for, but I gave it anyway. Well, then I started talking to him, and I'm sitting down in the stands, and I'm barking at him. And then he made another mistake, and I said, look, that's not even in the rule book. You can't do that. And it started getting a little out of hand. And my flesh got the better of me. And I'm standing between him and the backstop there, and we're going at it. And the other fellow that was then running the league decided he was going to step in, and he said, Brother Bush, I need you to take a walk and get away from here, or I'm going to throw you off the property. I said, but he's wrong. He said, so are you, for how you're handling it. Ooh. Then I had to go see the preacher. That was not a good deal. May I say something? I may have been right according to the rule, but I had no right to argue with the umpire the way I did. By the way, from that day on, I've never argued with another umpire or referee in any sport again. I don't go, so I don't do it. But I gave up arguing with officials that day. It caused me to get in the flesh. By the way, I had to umpire a game after that. Can I tell you, I felt like an idiot. Say why? Because I didn't want somebody challenging me that way. Now, I learned something. Don't argue with the umpire. In 1 Timothy 4:14, God says here that he says, I will therefore that the younger women marry. That's why I'm getting rid of my daughter. Bear children. You're supposed to bear your children when you're younger. Aren't you glad, ladies that are in your 60s and 70s, that you don't have to have babies? That's a young person sport, not an old person sport. Amen. Then it says, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I want you to notice, though, that statement, guide the house. Notice God is talking to women here, and he said it's your job to guide the house. Now, the word guide there, I've studied it in English. I've studied it in the Greek. I've chased it down, and it literally means this. It means mediator, intercessor, reconciler. It means referee. It literally means one who helps two opposing sides to come to an agreement. Some of you ladies say, I feel like all I do is between my husband and my kids. Referee and referee between the two boys and referee between the two girls, and I feel like all I do is referee fights and arguments. That's your job. According to Scripture, that's what guide the house means. God is telling us here that a mom or a wife in the home is a referee for all parties. She is the communicator between the children, each of them. Sometimes between the children and the dad, sometimes between the teacher and the child, or the teacher and the dad. Sometimes the mom's job is to be that mediator of two opposing sides to get everybody to come to an agreement. Now, that's what your job is. God said ladies are to guide the house, or to be the referee of the home. Now, let's look at this statement about ladies guiding the home or being the referee. Now, that doesn't mean you go get a black and white shirt and wear it every day. You can, but thank God You don't have to. Now, number one, let me say this. Ladies need to be impartial in the home. To be a good umpire or referee, you can't take sides. You can't let one side be more important to you than the other side. Justice is based on right and wrong, not which persons are involved. Let me say that again. Justice is based on right and wrong, not on what people are involved. Let's take that one up to DC once. Hey, let's bring good old Joe Biden in and treat him like they did Kavanaugh once. If it's justice for one, it's justice for the other. How about we bring Hillary and Bill back and try them for the murders of the people that committed suicide and walked 100 yards away? You see, can I tell you something? Justice is blind. It doesn't matter who it is. I was my children's principal for many years. I enforced demerits on them as I did other children. I remember one day, this one got into a scrap with somebody. And by the way, he told me he was gonna. I said, well, you gotta pay the price. He said, well, there's somebody picking on one of my friends, Dad, and if he picks on him again, I'm just gonna knock his head off. Well, the kid started talking bad about the kid, and Josh took care of business. Clocked him a good one and stopped everything in a hurry. You know, all the talking stopped. The snot started flying. One shot, it was done. Well, he got hold of my office for fighting. I think he got like 10 demerits for fighting. Teacher was all wound up, upset. He handed me the demerits. I said, well, bring him to my office. I'll talk to him like I do everybody else. So I got his side of the story. I said, well, Josh, I said, you've got your 10 demerits there, right? He said, yes, sir. I said, let me see them. He let me see them. I took my pen out and I signed them. I said, give those back to your teacher. I said, now stand up. He thought, oh, man, here it comes. I'm going to get whooped too. I had him step to my side of the desk. I put my arms around him. I said, good job. I said, some demerits are worth getting in life. I said, as your dad, good job. As your principal, don't do that again. And on he went. I didn't take the demerits away. He stood for something. He was willing to pay the price for it, to do it. I backed what the authority said I should do, but as his dad, I said, good job. Now, we never had to go through it again. I knew it would solve the problem. Smite the scorner in the simple will beware. It solved the whole thing, school-wide, for a long time. Say why? But he still got his demerits. Just because, my kids hated this statement. They still hate it. I don't care what your last name is. Justice is justice, and I don't look at last names when it comes to justice. Everybody doing okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. Wisdom uses the Bible principles to decide, not our feelings and emotions. Too many of us make decisions based on how it affects us. Ladies in the home, you can't get upset if the husband has to correct the child and say, well, that's my baby. It's his too. Sometimes it takes somebody with a little hoop spot to put a little fear of God in them. And by the way, it's not easier for a man to do. But don't you lie to your kids and say, it hurts me more than it hurts you. That's a filthy lie. You bend over and let me whoop you like that once and see if it hurts you as bad as it did me. Mm-mm. Now, wait a minute. Ladies are not to influence things the way they want it to be. They're to follow principles. I'm going to give you a few Bible illustrations very, very quickly. Jezebel influenced Ahab to get what Jezebel wanted and had a man killed. She was an evil person. She influenced the nation of Israel to do that which she wanted to do, not what was right to do. Lot's wife in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, look, we've got to get out. Don't turn back. God said, don't turn back. So Lot leaves with his wife and his two daughters. They get out of town. She turns around, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. They call her Salt Lake Sally. Amen. She turned to a pillar of salt. Why? Because she was trying to influence her family of what she wanted back in Sodom. By the way, because of that, both of those daughters had a physical relationship and had children by their father. The evil influence of Lot's wife destroyed the family. Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. They sold a parcel of ground, promised God that they were going to give the profits of it to the church, but they kept it back, and they weren't supposed to do that. And Ananias died, and they came and asked Sapphira. She said, oh yeah, we did it, and she died too. She influenced it. She didn't tell her husband, no, we're supposed to do what we said we do. So be careful in your home that you don't side with the child to go against the dad to get what you want. Be careful that you don't go with one child over another child. Try to keep it equal. Everybody doing okay? All four of these ladies, listen to this, had their own agenda and ruined lots of lives because of it. Ladies, you're not to have your own agenda. The agenda is to be the word of God and right. It's not to be how you feel. Not to be because one cried and one didn't. It's not to be because one's more tender than the other. No, they're both built with the same emotions. Ladies who use their power for their own agenda usually end up destroying, not building. Ladies who do right and are impartial do a lot of good. Let me go back to one that didn't. Rebecca with Jacob. Rebecca helped Jacob trick Isaac. Jacob then tricked his brother out of the birthright and then had to leave town so Esau didn't kill him. Also, he married two women that had false gods and brought false religion back to Israel later. Jacob's name was turned to Israel, but his wives brought false gods from their homeland with him. Now, ladies who do right or impartial do a lot of good. Hannah with Samuel. Hannah begged God she couldn't have a child. Begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged God. God gave her a child. She said, God, if you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. I'll rear him for you. And God gave her a child. His name was Samuel. And Samuel anointed the first two kings of Israel and was a great prophet in Israel. They call him Samuel the Kingmaker. Samuel was an incredibly wise man. Say why? Because he had a mama that didn't have her own agenda. She reared him until he was about 5 years old, took him to the temple to Eli the priest and said, okay, God gave me this son. I told him I'd give him back. You take him and raise him as your own child to do the work of God. And she would visit him once a year. God gave her other children because of it. She kept her end of the bargain. Naomi with Ruth. You know, Naomi told Ruth and her other daughter-in-law to leave after their husbands had died. Ruth said, nope, I'm not leaving. Naomi was bitter. She had been out of the will of God. She said, but I'll follow you. She said, entreat me not to leave thee. Oh, by the way, Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David because of it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, don't turn there. The Bible's talking about Timothy and his mother Eunice and his grandmother, Lois's mother and Eunice's grandmother. And God says, of the unfaith faith that is in thee because of your mother and your grandmother. There was a young man who was a man of God because he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And they didn't have their own agenda. They had the agenda of God. Be careful you don't use your influence to get what you want. By the way, you'll be tempted to because that's what your sin nature does.
He's being too rough.
Be careful.
He's being too hard on my little baby boy.
You can't be too hard on a boy. The tighter you wind them and the harder you throw them, the more they bounce back. If they get hurt, you rub dirt in it. It turns out just fine. You're made out of dirt. Dirt won't hurt. They chew it. They eat it. They play with worms in it. They roll in it. And it makes them bigger men. Dirt's just dirt.
Well, I don't want my boy to end up like that.
Do you want him walking around like some of these Twinkies do around here? Jesus didn't wiggle when he walked, just so you know. These pictures you see of Jesus with long hair and he looks like some dude off the Rainbow Coalition. Can I tell you something? Peter, James, and John and Andrew were fishermen. Have you ever been down to the docks and seen real commercial fishermen? They're not going to be drawn to somebody that talks real soft and wiggles when they walk. I'm just going to go ahead and say, you don't see commercial fishermen in Joel Osteen's church. But they're welcome here. Tough man's church. Say why? Because I believe men ought to be men. Don't wiggle when you walk. If you have wiggle when you walk, we're taking you out back and putting you in a pair of cowboy boots or taking care of business otherwise. I think every boy ought to own a pair of cowboy boots. You'd teach them how to walk. I don't think ladies ought to walk like a man. Now hang on. A lady yielded to the Bible and the Holy Spirit can guide the house and churches to stay right. One of the reasons this church is doing what it's doing and as well as it's doing is because we have ladies all over this church that are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. And we don't have a bunch of long-tongued, evil, backbiting, gossiping women in our church. We're not sitting here in cliques saying, well, yeah, they're not as good as we are. Folks, the ground's level at the cross. Your tongue's big enough to fit on the altar. Just bring it up and set her down. Roll it out, we'll step on it, wipe our feet on it, and you can roll it back in if we had to, but we're not going to put up with that mess. I've had folks leave this church over that because I wouldn't put up with it. Guess what? Don't care. I'm not going to let anybody tear down the people of this church. I had somebody come in to try to destroy one of our church members that wasn't even a member of our church, interrupted a church service to try to talk bad about somebody, and I had him escorted out of the service. Then I warned everybody, don't listen to him on your way out, and don't beat him up either. Because I knew how some of you were, let me go after him, preacher. Back off. By the way, what you didn't know is that man came back to me later and apologized for how he handled himself. And I respect that. But if you walk through that door right now, he's still not going to open his fat mouth and talk bad about anybody in this church. I don't talk bad about you to other preachers. I don't listen to them talk bad about their church members. I'll hang up the phone. Boy, that's good preaching. Amen. So, number one, ladies need to be impartial in the home. Number two, are you ready? Children need to learn to trust mom and not play mom against authority and get what they want. Mamas, be careful. Don't let your children play you against authority.
But mom, my teacher was mean to me.
Boy, you're the first person to want to jump. You seriously believe that your child is capable of lying to you? Oh, no, not my child. Some of you have found out having your children home from school for day after day after day what some of the teachers have to put up with. I say this regularly. Oh, my child would never lie. And then I always say, do you want us to tell you what they've told us that goes on in your house? Oh, no, 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 no. Y'all doing okay? Believe the authority over the child for principle's sake. Believe the teacher over your child. An adult has a better view of life than a six-year-old. Hate to disappoint you. Well, mine's gifted. Right. Believe the Sunday school teacher or the junior church worker over your child. Believe the police officer over your kid that got caught for speeding. Or that will get caught for speeding. Believe the boss over the child. Believe the step parent or the parent over the child. You won't be right 100% of the time that way, but I'll guarantee 98 out of 100 times you will be. And the 2% that you're not, they got away with it once that you didn't know about. It'll come back, don't worry. That doesn't mean your child shouldn't have a say in the issue, but some of you, no matter what your child says, you'll side with them. Because they know how to manipulate you. Did you know children are good manipulators? They come forth of the womb lying. You doubt me. That little turkey is born. You fed it. You changed its diaper. You burped it. You cleaned up the fruit that remained. You put that thing down about 1 o'clock in the morning, that thing starts screaming like it's dying. You try to feed it, it's not hungry. You change it, it's not needing changed. It just wants attention, but it sounds like it's going to die if you don't hold it. Well, let her scream. They'll get over it eventually. They get tired out. Oh, it's my baby. I know it is, and it's got to grow up, but it comes forth from the womb lying. You don't have to teach a child to lie. They do it naturally. And we never get out of it. Look how you lied about yourself. You see, you don't love your child by contributing to their sin and their wrong. Don't fund their booze and their drug habit. Some of you give your children money to go out and buy things that are sinful, and, well, they needed the money. Don't support their lazy backside. You don't work, you don't eat. Period. Well, they're only 32. They can't find a job. I understand we're going through a downtime right here, right now. But by the age of 32, you ought to have life figured out enough to at least pay your own bills without having mommy to do it for you. Everybody doing okay? Somebody say amen. Don't be their child care provider so that they can go out and be immoral again. Well, it's my grandchild. Okay, I understand that. But that doesn't mean that you contribute to the wrong of your children because it's your grandchild. Okay, that one hurt. Let's move on. Don't bail them out of their bills so they can use their money for wrong. Some of you pay their electric bill or pay their mortgage so they can go out and get drunk again. Everybody doing okay? Well, they need help. Yeah, they do. They need to quit spending so much money on booze. I said this a couple weeks ago. I have a witness. Thursday morning, my son and I went out about 4:30 to go turkey hunting. Why in the world they do it at that hour? I don't know, but we got to do it. I have a guy that lives about a block away from us. I said this the other night. A couple weeks ago, I drove by and he had 16 cases of beer lined up for the trash man. Thursday morning, we drove by. Brother Josh is my witness. There were 20 cases of beer by the trash can. All stacked up in 1 week. 1 week. I don't know. I called Brother Joe and he didn't know. But I Googled it. It's about $20 a case, I guess. At 20 cases, that's $400 in a week. times 4 weeks, that's $1,600. I can make my mortgage payment, my car payment, and still have money left over. $1,600 a month times 12 months, that's over almost $20,000 a year. Because all you're doing is drinking and putting it down the sewer. I can't wrap my head around that. But some of you will pay their bills because they're out drinking or out carousing or out doing drugs because, well, they can't pay their bills. Well, maybe they need to quit playing and drinking and drugging so much and go out and work a little bit more. Well, what if they can't do it? Then they'll figure it out. Contributing to the wrong is not love. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that no is a loving word? It's not a hateful one. It ought to be said often. When Josh was little, and I mean less than a year old, I think the first word he learned was no. If it wasn't, it was the second word, because he would always say no, no. To the point where a lady that helped us watch him from time to time bought him a shirt that says, "My name is No-No." I loved it. He understood what that word meant. Now, it didn't change anything, but he knew what the word was. Did you know that no is a loving word? You do not develop them better by letting them do what they want. They're sinners like you and me. You let me do what I want, and I'll weigh 400 pounds in about 6 weeks. But I've got to say no. We need moms who are willing to stay tough on those kids and make them do right, and moms who believe that the authority is important for the child, not just to coddle them. A few years ago, we had the riots in Baltimore. Remember, they were all over the news. I loved. About the day after that thing started, some mama brought some teenage boy into the police station, drug him by the ear. She grabbed hold of that boy's ear and drug him to the police station. And the police officer said, "Ma'am, what you doing?" She said, "My son was one of those ones on TV stealing and robbing things, and I need you to put him in jail." She said, he said, "You got to be kidding." She said, "Either you give him the handcuffs or you put them on him, or give them to me, I'll put them on him." That mama took her son to jail because she saw him on television stealing and robbing and looting and rioting. And she said, "You ain't doing that in my house." If we had more mamas like that, we'd have less what happened. Number three, I must hurry. So we need moms who are impartial in the home as a referee. We need children to learn to trust mom and not play mom against authority. And number three, are you ready, fellas? Men need to be wise to listen to their wife for input. Come on, ladies. You can say amen, too. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, sharpen up the elbow. Here it comes. Yeah. Walter, you've had it hit there so much you didn't feel nothing. It's calloused. Men, God gave you a woman to complete you. Without her, you're incomplete. Why are you trying to beat her in the ground and say she's worthless? A woman's role is more than cooking, cleaning the house, and caring for the babies. She is to be the mediator and the communicator of the home and help you understand some things because you got a rock head. Say, how do you know? Because I had a wife and I have a rock head. Trust me. God said that she is to guide the house. She is the go-between between you and the kids, you and other family members, you and authority in the children's life that, well, I can solve that. 1, 2, 3, here we go. Let's do that. Sometimes you just need to let your wife talk it through so you can get through your head. She doesn't need you to solve the problem. She needs you to listen to her. Amen. See, you are to lead. Yes, you are. But you better let her be involved in everything too. Did you know that wise leadership relies on good followers and listening to the followers? God said she's to complete you, not compete with you. Some of you, when she's trying to complete you, take it offensively because you're not strong enough as a man to listen to what she has to say. And you think she's trying to take over. Well, I'm the man. If you have to pound your chest and pound sand and say, I'm the man, I'm the leader here, you're not. You're trying to compete for it. Everybody doing okay? Some of you struggle with a child or a stepchild because it has to be your way or no way, and you won't listen to your wife. How about you listen to her? I'm not saying she's always 100% right, but something she says is right most of the time. Even when people criticize me, I'll listen to my critic. I'll take something my critic says and fix it in my life. Everybody doing okay? Let me give you an illustration. Some of you face a financial mess and can't hardly make it paycheck to paycheck because you have to be in charge and you won't listen to your wife. Your wife might be a better job at doing the finances than you. That doesn't mean you're a weak man. Strength is completed with strength. You'll be a better man if you'll let her help you and let her do it so that you can be a stronger man. Did you know, as pastor of this church, I don't do everything well? And as I hire people and put people in position, I'm supposed to put people there that are stronger in that area than I am. He has strengths I do not have. I'll let him run things so that it makes our church stronger, which makes me a stronger leader. Don't let me do the electricity at your house. I'm colorblind. Bad. I don't touch wires. I don't even buy it at the store. Say why? I'm not sure I'm going to get the right one. There's nothing more embarrassing going up, okay, what color is that? You know, when you sit down with kids to color, and if the paper's not on the crayons, you can't read what it is. And why do they ever put such stupid names on crayons? Yeah. Yeah, what in the world is magenta? Or deep canyon? Okay, it's got to have red, green, blue, you know, get the small box. I can handle that, you know. Nothing more embarrassing sitting there with a three-year-old. What color is this? Welcome to my world. How come that's got purple hair? I thought it was black. All looked the same to me. Preacher, it's not that bad. Yeah, it is. Trust me. Ask my wife and kids. Now, wait a minute. God made her to complete you, not compete with you. Did you know I'm supposed to hire people that have strengths in areas I'm weak so that our church can be stronger, not weaker? Some of you, you are your own standard of strength, and that means this, your home could be no stronger than you are. But if you'd let people around you have strength and utilize those strengths, your wife, your children, your stepkids, maybe your home would be stronger than it is right now, not weaker. That is a sign of true strength. True strength is willing to admit its weakness. It was my privilege for several years, about 4.5 years, to work for Brother Hiles, pastoring the world's largest Sunday school. We averaged 25, 26,000 people in church every Sunday morning. Big days, over 40,000. Say, well, they ran a lot of buses. Yeah, we'd have 12, 13,000 on a big day on buses. That's when we had 40,000. That means we had 37,000 drive-in. Our auditorium sat 7,000 people. And we would pack it out, pack it out, pack it out. I remember sitting in a staff meeting. I remember him preaching this from the pulpit. He'd say, I could build this church to 2,000 or 3,000 with myself and some secretaries. But fellas, the other 23,000 is on you. What did he say? He said, I hired people that had strengths in areas to pick up the weakness that I have, and I become a stronger leader because of it. Some of you are not willing to admit your own weakness. Well, it's worked for this many years. Well, your definition of working and working well is a different story. See, God made your wife to help you, not compete with you. She's not trying to show you up. She's trying to make you stronger. Your children, by the way, I'm not in competition with my children. I hope he'll outdo in his ministry what I've done. Go for it. I'm not in competition with him. We work together. And as we work together, we both become stronger. Boy, that's good stuff. Most women don't want control. They want security and the ability to have a say-so in the team. You know, no one likes being part of the team and as all they do is sit on the bench. If you've ever been part of a good team and as all you did is sit on the bench, you really didn't feel much like the part of the team, did you? Then why are you doing that to your wife? She's part of the team, but you never let her play. You put her on the bench and tell her she's no good. She can just sit there and you'll run everything. When you bench your best player, things get rough. Sometimes you're benching the best player. How about you give her a chance? Why not be a better team by using all of the players, not just one or two? I've got to quit. Ladies, your role in the home is much like that of the Holy Spirit. You're to be the communicator between opposing parties. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does with us? It is His Spirit that communicates with our spirit that we're the sons of God. When we pray, the Holy Spirit takes it to the Father. And sometimes we say, God, I don't even know what to ask for. The Holy Spirit says, but I do. God, they don't know what to say, but I know what they need. I've been inside them. I know what they need. They need this. And the Holy Spirit communicates with the Father, brings it back to us, and we get our answer. So, we're to be, you ladies are to be like the Holy Spirit. Men, children, we're supposed to be like the Christian who submits to the Holy Spirit when we see the need arise based on truth and principle. So, that's the role of a lady. Let me challenge you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today ought to be the day. If you've been saved and not baptized, we could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, like to join our church, we could take care of that. Maybe you just want to be a better guide. Maybe you're a man or a child and you need to decide to listen to your mama or to your wife and get some things straight so that you could be a better team and a stronger team. Whatever the need, you need to let God work on your heart today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I don't look at a lady as a second-class citizen. A lady is not a slave. I look at ladies as the lofty position. We men are the hard workers. They're a weaker vessel physically, but they sure do have a lot of strength. And I've learned through the years, if I listen, I usually do a whole lot better. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something I needed today. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down.